We're starting a new series, and we're calling it The God I Never Knew. The God I Never Knew. And the reason we're calling it this is I grew up in church. I grew up in church all my life. And we talked about the Lord. We talked about Jesus. We talked about God the Father. We talked about God the Son. And we did. I can't say I ever really had a whole sermon or a series on the Holy Spirit. And when we did talk about Holy Spirit, we talked more about attributes of basically what he did. We talked about the day of Pentecost. We talked about the fire appearing on top of the, people's heads, speaking in tongues. That is what we talked about. And then when I was preparing for this, I began to look and try to look in other denominations and what they believe about the Holy Spirit. And it actually grieved my heart to a degree because there was one statement of faith that said the Holy Spirit was only a force of God. But the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. He is a Godhead. He is a person. He is a person. And so we're going to teach on the God I never knew. And I'm so thankful for being raised in church. I'm so thankful for a mother who knew the Holy Spirit and taught me how to connect with the Holy Spirit. Because I'm going to tell you, I've said this story before, but when my mom would get things by the Lord, I thought it was just because we had nosy neighbors and people everywhere that would tattletale on us. And I'm not saying that didn't happen every once in a while. I'm sure it did. But my mama, one day, she just got something in prayer from the Lord, and I'm not going to go into the whole story, and there was no way. And we went, and immediately it turned out just like she saw. And I remember that day, I told her, it was late at night, probably in the morning hours, and I told her, I said, Mom, you have to teach me how to do this. I have to know God how you know God. I want this power. You got it. I should be able to have it. I want it. And she told me, we'll start teaching you. And we didn't start that night. I got to see it that night and then in the morning. And that's when I told her. And so, I'm just so thankful for being raised with knowing the Holy Spirit as a person. And as a church, I want every one of us to be able to reach the Holy Spirit, get answers from the Holy Spirit, and know who He is. He is not a force. He is not just speaking in tongues. He is a person of the Godhead. So we're going to, and it was probably going to take me a while to get there, but go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Now, I want to ask a question. What is the difference between a person and a thing? Free will. What?
A thing? Spirit?
A thing? What kind of a thing? Things. Just things. You know, I asked this a long time ago, and one of the things that somebody said was life. Life. But the thing is, a tree has life. And you know what's interesting? This is a useless fact you'll never need to know, but I read it in an article this week. They're starting to believe that trees sleep. Did you see that? Yeah, isn't it interesting? Trees, they believe, they sleep. They have a cycle from day to night. And they actually, when they photograph them and keep them in stills every so many minutes, at night, their branches wilt. They go down, and during the day, they pop back up. And they're in a cycle that they are believing that trees actually rest. And I'm like, it's kind of amazing. I get geeked out at stuff like that. I know that doesn't affect a lot of you, but me, I'm like, that's amazing. How does it affect your life? Not at all. But how I almost feel like Chewbacca. Arr! It's amazing. It is amazing. All right. So anyway, so plants are things, but they have life. They have life, and so that's not what it is. It is a soul. A soul, that's what separates. That's one of the greatest things. There's a lot of attributes. Trees can't make coffee. That's an important difference between people and things. But one of the greatest attributes is a soul. Now, what is our soul? Our mind, our will, and our emotions, right? And so the Holy Spirit, as a person, has a mind, he has a will, and he has emotions. And we're going to go over that. We're going to get into it in detail. But I want to read to you in Matthew chapter 12. I'm going to then jump to Matthew 26. But Matthew 12 and 18 says, "Behold my servant, who I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. Now, he's part of the Godhead. And the Godhead, they are the same, right? They're different, but they are the same. It's one of the miracles of God. I wish I could explain it to you better, but I'm not going to be able to. I'm not going to be able to break it down to explain exactly how they are different, but the same. I could use some of the old ways of teaching, get a three-leaf clover and show you how they're different, but they're the same. I could talk about how a father has children and they're different, but they're the same. But, you know, it's different than that. It's beyond that. It is, but it's beyond that. And what's beautiful is the Holy Spirit and Jesus and God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit never disagree. They stand as one. Now, you may not be able to fully recognize that because we never have a relationship that's the case, that we never absolutely disagree on anything. Like me and my wife, we agree on a lot of things, but we do not agree where she should do her fingernails. And I don't mean clipping them. I mean that smell. Oh, my Lord. That is toxic. That, I mean, you walk in and smell that. It is like run for your life. I don't see how you ever get used to it, ladies. I would need an oxygen mask every time I got my nails done. But thankfully, I don't have to worry about that. Aren't you thankful? You probably should be thankful for that, too. And so, you know, there are some things we disagree on. We agree on a lot of things, but not everything. There is not one relationship you'll ever have on earth that you agree 100% on everything. But God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit agree on everything. They don't have to have meetings. They don't have to have a council. They don't have to get together and say, hey, what about this? Do we agree on this? Hey, yay, yay, yay. No, okay, but you're going to change your mind because we're all yay. No, they don't have to, you know, communicate like that. They agree on everything. They are the same, but they are different. Matthew 26 and 38 says, and thus saith he unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful. So Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not going to keep saying God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit because we're going to focus on the Holy Spirit today. The Holy Spirit can feel sorrowful. The Holy Spirit can feel joy. Now, Hebrews 10 and 38, write this down. Hebrews 10 and 38 says, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draws back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Now, question, if his soul will have no pleasure in him, does that mean that God can feel pleasure? Absolutely. The Holy Spirit feels pleasure. The Holy Spirit feels joy. The Holy Spirit feels sadness. The Holy Spirit has emotions. Now, this is what's beautiful. Unlike some people, he is not ruled by his emotions. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Some people, and you know, it's fine. I'm just going to tell you this. Some of your relationships will not last forever. Some of your relationships will not last forever. Some relationships you have, a wrong has been done that your future will never look like your past with them. And that's okay. That's okay. Now, the thing that must happen is you must forgive them. But forgiveness is not restoration. See, that's what's wrong with the body of Christ. So many times we think, I have to forgive, and then I have to accept them into my life. They've stolen from me. They've done this to me, and I got to have them in my life to prove that I have forgiven them. No, the proof that you have forgiven them is that you stopped that hit you were thinking about on their life. Right. You're no longer thinking about or meditating on other things that your mind just went to right then and there. I don't have to say any of them. Forgiveness means I'm not going to repay them for evil. Evil for evil. You can forgive them, but your relationship does not have to be restored with them. Now, the good news is the Holy Spirit, the Godhead, is always looking for people to be restored, but the heart must change for it to happen. Mm-hmm. Now, see, only God knows the heart. And that's the one reason that some people will never be restored in your life is because you truly don't know their heart. And we can't see the heart. We can see actions, but we can't see the heart. We don't know where the heart is. So that's one reason relationships, some people need to love them at a distance. Amen. For you to walk in peace and God with them, they have to be at a distance. Hello. God bless you. Amen. What restaurant are you going to after church? Because I'm going to the other one. And you know, I've had people disagree with me on that. And you know what? That's fine. You go ahead and let everybody into your life. But I recognize that Jesus also had circles of friends. He had the 70. Hello. And out of the 70, he had 12. Out of the 12, he had 3. Out of 3, he had 1. There was only 1, he said, take care of my mama. And I'm going to tell you, there ain't a whole lot of people I'd say take care of my mama. I'm trying to think who I'd tell that to. I still ain't coming up with somebody solid yet. I'll let you know if that happens. Oh, but the reason I'm telling you this is because Jesus had circles of friends. Everybody couldn't be that number one. Everybody couldn't take care of Mary. He didn't trust everybody to take care of Mary. Why? Because he recognized people had places. People had places. And you shouldn't have 50 number ones. It ain't meant you might want 50 number ones, but you don't, it's just not going to happen. You don't have 50 number ones. And you don't have 50 threes. So, you know, the 3 was somebody he could share his heart with. The 12, there's some things he couldn't tell the 12. And what he told the 12, he couldn't even tell the 70. I can prove it to you, because when he did tell something to the 70, they left him all but 12. They all walked out on him. There's some things you can't tell the 70. Because they'll leave you. And so it's fine to have these relationships. It's understandable. Jesus himself had them. So not everybody should be your number one. But today we're going to look at the Holy Spirit has a mind. That's the first thing we're going to look at. He has a mind. Isaiah 55, and if you're taking notes, you should write all this down. Isaiah 55 and 8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts." The Holy Spirit has thoughts. Philippians 2 and 5, right there, we got a lot of scriptures to go through. Philippians 2 and 5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Jesus had a mind. He had thoughts. He had emotions. Jesus cried about the future that he was going to have to take. Not just, "I'm crying because I'm in an emotional state. Bad things are happening to people." He was about to have to take a hard path. It was moved with such emotion that he cried. Jesus wept. There were times that he was moved by just being sad about a situation. Jesus had emotions. So don't beat yourself up because you have emotions. Don't be controlled by those emotions. Jesus still went through and did what he was called to do. You can still stand. And what's beautiful is the Holy Spirit won't hold things against you. Mama may hold things against you, not mine, maybe yours. Mama won't hold, didn't hold nothing against me. Your brothers may hold stuff against you. Your sisters may hold stuff against you. Your neighbor may hold stuff against you. But the Holy Spirit, he'll let it go. When your heart is to restore and get back where you're supposed to be, the Holy Spirit holds nothing against you. He does not allow his emotions to overrule your trueness of heart to come back to him. Aren't you thankful? Yes. Now, Jesus had a mind. The Holy Spirit has a mind. Have you ever thought about this? If the Holy Spirit has a mind, what's his IQ? What's his IQ? Can I tell you? He doesn't have an IQ. He just has I. He just has intelligence. He knows everything. The Holy Spirit has never made this statement. Do you know what I just thought of? That's a statement the Holy Spirit has never stated. He has never stated, "Do you know what just came to me? Or what I just figured out?" The Holy Spirit has never gone to God the Father and says, "I just had an epiphany. I just had a revelation. The Son, the Father, I just had a revelation." The Holy Spirit has never said that words or those statements because he knows everything. Why am I even bringing the point out that God, the Holy Spirit, has knowledge of everything, has an intelligence that is unchartable? Because see, the IQ, what is that? Intelligence, I forget, quotient, the results, the measuring. Normally math problems, things of this nature. It's a measurement of intelligence. My thoughts are not your thoughts. He knows everything. So all he is I. The reason I'm bringing this all up is because he lives on the inside of us, and we have access to someone who knows everything.
Yes, 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 yes.
who knows what direction we need to take. If that job that has been offered to us is the job that we should take. You know, I heard Kenneth E. Hagin make this statement. There was somebody who was going to leave the city who God already spoke to him and told him he shouldn't leave. He shouldn't leave. And so he came to him as his pastor and said, hey, you know, this job is going on and I'm thinking about taking it. And he says, well, have you found a church there? He said, well, no, I haven't even really looked for a church there. And he says, but it's so much more money a month, so much more money a year. And he says, yeah. He says, but you're part of Word of Faith. And how often do your kids get sick here? How often does this message, this teaching, how much has this saved you? It's invaluable to you. And he says, you need to put that and go to God with that before you make a decision. And he said, the guy came back the next week and said, you know what, I went before the Lord with that, and the Lord just spoke to me and told me no. He said, I got so wrapped up in the new position and how much more money I was going to make that I did not look and compare it to my spiritual life, and I figured out the Lord has spoken to my heart and said, no, stay. Stay. And so we need to go before the Holy Spirit because He will lead us and guide us into all things. Now, like we've said, I've heard that the Holy Spirit is a force, but no, he's a person. He's not a force. He's not just speaking in tongues. He's not just guidance. He's not just a teacher. You know, what if you, there's a lot of times that when people don't know me and they're here like, oh, he's a pastor and that's all I am. You know what I mean? That's all I am. I'm like, well, that's what I do. You know, and yes, it is my calling, but I like a lot of different things. I'm deeper than a position. Yes, yes, yes. And, you know, when I was in my 20s, you know, when I was 20 years old, I had a position in the church. I grew up in the church. I knew I wanted to be a minister. As a teenager, I was a traveling evangelist. My summers were completely booked. Before I could drive, my mother would drive me to my meetings. I think back about that, I'm like, what pastor would ever let me in as like 15 years old traveling? It's crazy. But they let me in. And I would preach, and my mother would drive me, or a friend would drive me. Somebody would drive me to my meetings and drive me home. I couldn't even drive a vehicle at the time. And I was like, that's awesome. So I grew up in this. And so there was never a time that I wasn't in ministry. From my teenage years up, there was never a time I wasn't in ministry. And can I tell you, that blows a lot of people's minds when you are 17 years old and you're in full-time ministry. When you're 18 years old and you're in full-time ministry. When you're 19 years old and you're in full-time ministry. When you're in 20 and you hold a position in the church. I mean, it's not like cleaning person, but they're all important. But I'm standing as a minister of the gospel at 20 years old. And can I tell you, that brought up a lot of questions to a lot of people I'd meet. I want to tell you one. It's funny. At least it is to me. I remember one time I was in an airport and I was traveling. I was traveling to another church and preaching. And it was great when you got to get on a plane and travel because that means they picked you up and you didn't have to worry about driving. And can I tell you this too? If you ever had to get a rental car at 20 years old, just really didn't happen. Just, you know, it just didn't happen. They won't give you a car. So when you're in traveling ministry, you got to make all kinds of wheeling and dealing, trying to, you know, work everything out. And I remember one time I'm in an airport and this young lady, we struck up a conversation and she says, oh, so where are you going? I'm like, oh, I'm going so-and-so. And I asked where she was going. She's telling me where. And she was going for vacation, have a good time. And she says, well, what are you going there for? I said, oh, I'm actually going for a church. She's like, oh, a conference? I'm like, oh, no, I'm actually speaking at a church. And she's like, well, youth? I'm like, no, the regular service. She's like, well, what do you do for a living? I said, well, this is it. This is what I do. I'm a traveling minister. This is what I do. And she says, oh, are you married? I'm like, no. She says, well, how do you do this and you're not married? I said, just like I would if I was married. Yes, there's no one with me. And she goes, oh, well, isn't that weird? I'm like, well, I know. I guess for other people maybe, but not really for me. She goes, well, are you interested or is this like a priest thing? And I'm like, well, no, there's an interest. She goes, well, do you date? I'm like, yeah. What do you do on dates? They're like, the same thing that everybody else that is a Christian does on dates, I would guess. And she goes, now that I'm starting to think about the story, maybe it wasn't so appropriate. She says, are you allowed to touch? And I said, well, sure. There's no, I can't touch. She goes, where can you touch? I mean, she just started going in great detail. And I said, well, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what. You point to a location and I'll let you know. And she points to her knee. I said, yeah, that's not an issue. Not an issue. Points to her shoulder. Not an issue. She goes. I said, if they were on fire, I could put them out. And that was the end of that whole conversation. Very awkward after that. Probably should have thought that story through before. But you know, I've been in ministry very early, so it has blown a lot of minds, because normally you're supposed to be gray and married, or at least in your 30s before you do this kind of stuff. You're not supposed to hold this position early on in life, but I knew what I wanted. And I was led by the Spirit of God, and I would hear His voice. I would seek Him. And can I tell you something? I love life where I am today. I love life. I love life where I'm standing right now more than I ever have. And I've had people ask me, would you do it all over again? Would you still do everything that you've done knowing that you can't change anything? I'm like, well, there is always stuff I'd love to change, but if I couldn't change anything, of course I would still do it again. Because it's led me right to where I am. It was saying yes to the Holy Spirit that got me here. It was saying yes to the Holy Spirit that kept me here. It was saying yes to the Holy Spirit that every direction I went, that is the reason I'm married to the love of my life and have the children that I have today, is because I heard from the Holy Spirit, who knows everything, and trusted Him when nothing else made sense. I'm going to tell you, there were times in ministry, everything in me wanted to run. Everything in me wanted to quit. Everything in me wanted to get out of Dodge and say, it would be easier. Lord, it would be easier. Because, you know, I had a background in banking and went to school for business. I mean, it would be easier to go try to be a branch manager, to be a district manager over branches of banks. That's, Lord, dealing with money. You know I like to count money, and you know I can do it fast. I enjoy this kind of stuff, Lord. It would be easier. I could leave it all. I could walk out of work and not have to bring it home. I could leave everything there and not have to worry about phone calls or people who are upset with me or emails that take me a little while to get over it. Can I tell you, I've gotten much better at getting over stuff quicker than ministry will help you do that. Now, can I say also, none of this is you, which is wonderful. Oh, I'm so thankful that not it's you. But you know, it would be easier, Holy Spirit, if I just had a regular job, a 9-to-5. But you know what? That's a thought process. But that thought process is a lie from the enemy.
That's right.
Because if you're going to follow what God has for you, if you're going to walk in the fullness of life, you're going to have to listen to what the Holy Spirit says. And sometimes He will tell you, there's a storm coming, move over to the other side. And sometimes He will say, plant your feet still. There's a storm coming. You got to go through it. Why does sometimes you have to go through it? And why does sometimes you get to go around it? I have no idea. But what I do know, if we listen to the Holy Spirit, we will never miss it. And if we do miss it, He is the GPS that will get us back on track. Aren't you thankful? Oh, my Lord Jesus. So the Holy Spirit has a mind. The second thing the Holy Spirit has is a will. Acts chapter 16:6 says, and now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach in Asia. Now, later he got to go to Asia, but the Holy Spirit prevented him. Said, you cannot do it. You absolutely cannot do it. And they listened to the Holy Spirit. He has a will, and He can let you know His will for your life. Now, the Holy Spirit asserted Himself to the disciples, and He will still assert Himself to His people that will listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Now, His will never be different. The Holy Spirit's will never be different than the will of God, the Father, or God, the Son. The wills do not change. Like I said before, they have a relationship where they agree 100%. They know everything. And the beauty is the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us to lead us, guide us, teach us all things. And I believe the number one mistake as a church that most churches are missing is understanding the Holy Spirit. we could go through life a lot better and at greater levels if we just would learn to listen to the Spirit of God.
Mm.
Now, how can I know God's will? I've heard this question so many times. How can I hear the Holy Spirit? How can I know the leading of the Holy Spirit?
I'm glad you asked that question.
But there are two, we got to understand this, there are two wheels of the Holy Spirit. And no, it is not what you were taught if you were taught like I was. The permissive and the will of God. There's the will of God and there's the permissive will of God. No. There's no such thing as the permissive will of God. And I remember Pastor, one of the churches I used to attend as a teenager, I was having lunch. I went and had lunch, and my pastor just came back from preaching at a different church. And my pastor was actually eating at the restaurant. Sharon's, it's gone. Hurricane Dennis destroyed it. But it was my favorite place to eat. And so I went there, and I ordered, and I was just going to take it and go. But my pastor saw me and said, "Hey, Tim, sit down and eat with me. Tell me about your meetings." And so I was talking to him, and one of the board members of the church I attend came up. And pastor said, "How you doing?" And he said, "Oh, I'm doing good." Pastor said, "How's things going? Tell me about it." He said, "Oh, you know, I've just been praying, and I'm in God's permissive will, and I'm just struggling along. And, you know, we can never get to the will of God. We can only strive to get there and stay in His permissive will. I never want to get out of it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus." But as the Holy Spirit would allow, and God's great and mighty, you know, he went very theologian, very, you know, out there talking about how great God is, which is wonderful, but it's not a relationship with God. It's more of a religious front with God and how he was always going to be in the permissive will. And I'm not saying nothing. I'm eating. I'm letting him talk. And my pastor knows what I believe, knows where I went to school, knows where I graduated from, knows my thought process. And my pastor's thought process on this lines up with my thought process on this. And so he says, "Tim, what do you think about that?" And I'm here like, he's trying to stick it to me. And I'm here like, I just looked at him and said, "I don't really think about it." And I go back to eating. And he said, "Oh, Tim, I know you got a thought process on it. You don't go to Bible school that long and not have a thought process on it. Why don't you tell our brother here what you think about the will of God?" I said, "I think it's great to be in his will." And I went back to eating. He says, "Oh, I know you think it's great, but why don't you tell him? I got a better question for you, Tim. Are you in the permissive will of God, or are you in the will of God?" And I just looked at him with glaring eyes because the man's behind me standing. And I just exhaled. I said, "I'm in God's perfect will." And I go back to eating, and this board member says, "How dare you? I've been in church all my life, boy. I've been in church all my life, and you're going to tell me that you're at a higher level in the will of God than I am?" I said, "No, sir, I would not even be presumptuous to say that I am in a higher level. But I'm not even in his perfect will." "Well, that's up to you. But God leads, guides, and directs us. And God does not lead me into a permissive will. He leads me into his perfect will. And if I listen to the Holy Spirit and follow him, I am in his perfect will." Now, I would like to give you this little tidbit of knowledge. I'm not saying I'm perfect. But what I am saying is when I stand and go where God tells me to go, that is his perfect will. Amen. And the problem is people get the mentality, if I'm in the perfect will, then I don't ever make a mistake. You make mistakes. That's what 1 John 1:9 is there. It's to ask for forgiveness and be back in the perfect will of God. So just because you're following him does not mean that you haven't made a mistake. And so we don't put ourselves that we're better than people. We just understand that we got knowledge that we're walking in. And honestly, I believe that he's led by the Spirit of God, so therefore he wasn't in the permissive will. He was in God's will. I'm not saying he knows everything, he's doing everything correctly, but he thinks he's in the permissive, and he thinks that's as high as he can get. Wrongly dividing God's word. Now, we have two wheels of God. Are you ready for this? We have two categories of his will. There is general and specific. Jesse always corrects me because I don't say it correctly. I talk about it like it's an ocean. Pacific, but specific. So if I mess it up, you know what I mean. All right, just letting you know, we ain't rowing a boat in the ocean. We're talking about the specific will of God. Okay. Well, say it again. Specific. She can't let me go. She has to correct me on it. Specific. I'll just spit a lot, and you know, we'll just go from there. And so there is the general. What is the general will of God? It is his word. The specific will of God is God speaking to you directly. I'll give you an example of this. How should I get married? God has rules for that, and we can find them out. It's the general will of God. Not only how should I get married, let's say this, how should I live my life once I am married? God's word is very clear. It tells a husband how to act toward his wife. It tells a wife how to act toward her husband. It tells parents how to act toward their children. And can I tell you something that I see not in here, I'm not saying here, but I see with children a lot of times, and I might have been guilty of it once or twice, is don't provoke your children under wrath. Because they have a little cruddy attitude, and so therefore you want to stick it to them sometime and be a little bit of, and cause them to get a little angry. I know none of you have done that. Right? Right. Okay, just making sure. But sometimes they got just crappy little attitudes, and you just want to be like, yeah. And that's not just children, that's a lot of people, I know. But the Bible tells us very clearly, don't provoke your children to wrath. Don't make them angry on purpose when you know it's going to tick them off, and that's your only reason behind it. Hello. And sometimes they deserve it, but we also deserve a lot of things we don't get. Hello. So, now, something that's not general that you need the Holy Spirit to speak to you, should I marry this person? You won't find that in the Bible. Should I marry Jesse, Lord? I don't know. Let me flip a page. I'm still reading. God hasn't said anything. He will lead you by your Holy Spirit. Now, can I tell you the answer for you is no. The answer for you is no. Now, the difference between the general and his specific word is the specific, now you got me paranoid, specific will of God we know through his Spirit. The general will we know through his word, the specific will we know through his Spirit. So if we know the specifics of his will through the Holy Spirit, don't you think we should get to know the Holy Spirit? That should be a priority of the church. If you want to know what job to take, if you want to know what church to attend, if you want to know what school to send your kids to, if you want to know these answers, if you want to know how much to give to the building fund, you need to talk to the Holy Spirit. He will lead you and guide you into all things. Acts chapter 2 and verse 17. Have y'all found Ephesians yet? We're getting there. Acts chapter 2 and verse 17. And it shall come to pass that in the last days, saith the Lord, I will pour my Spirit upon all flesh. What color of flesh?
All.
Oh, okay. What gender of flesh?
All.
Are you sure he's not going to check the DNA and say, nope, you're a man, can't use you, or nope, you're a woman, I can't use you?
Nope.
All flesh, right? How much flesh? Can I tell you this too? I want to stop for a second. Do you know in the Old Testament, there were generations that only one person heard from God?
Yep.
Only one. We live in the greatest time on the face of the earth. Now, do you know, before John the Baptist, Old Testament and New Testament, we have 400 years from the last prophet to John the Baptist. 400 years of no one hearing God's voice. And we can about walk into a store and the Holy Spirit say, not here. Mm-hmm. Go over here. And you may have no idea why.
Right.
You can have a moment where you're driving and the Holy Spirit says, don't take that route. Take this route. I mean, we live in a world that right down the street, somebody was shot in the neck as they're driving down the interstate, mm-hmm. down the highway.
Mm-hmm.
And the Holy Spirit, because we had friends coming down that same highway. And they stopped. This is what they said. They stopped at a stop they normally wouldn't. So just wanted to stop. Just had an urge. I'm going to stop at this gas station, get a drink, and, didn't have to. Just all of a sudden, the urge came up. Going to stop. I'm going to do this. And then they got back on, and they started coming, and they said they were diverted. And they had to go all the way around. They're coming from Minnesota. It was the same road. It was the same road.
Wow.
The Holy Spirit can just lead you, guide you, and direct you. You may not even know. I believe you get so in tune with the Holy Spirit, it's just an unction. You know what? I sure do want some hot tamales right now. Yeah, there's a KFC. Oh, Krispy Kreme, the red light just came on. Yes, Lord. There can be a lot of things that we'll blame on something else, but the Holy Spirit is so just nudging us just a little. And we're being guided and directed by Him. And it's so commonplace to our lives that sometimes we don't even recognize it for what it is. We don't even recognize it for what it is. When I get to heaven, I want to say, Lord, how many times did you save my life I didn't know about? I know sometimes. But how many times did you save my life I had no idea? I believe it's going to be a lot more than we could ever think or imagine. Because we have an enemy that's trying to kill us on a regular basis. The beauty of it is that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. So keep on coming. You want to waste your time and energy? Go ahead. I got the Holy Spirit. Oh, you may have some Christians fooled with this whole curses and all this junk that you get into their life. But I'm telling you right now, the curse has been broken by the blood of Jesus. When I said, yes, Lord, I believe that Jesus is my Savior. So the Holy Spirit will lead us. He will guide us. He will direct us. He will keep us out of places. He will put us in the right place at the right time. Oh, Lord. And so we need to get to know the Holy Spirit. He said, I will pour out all my Spirit upon all flesh. Black flesh, white flesh, yellow flesh, in-between flesh, all beiges and colors of flesh, male flesh, woman flesh, people that don't even know what they are flesh. The Holy Spirit can be poured upon all flesh. He'll cause a confused person all of a sudden to get knowledge on the inside of them. Oh, direct them what bathrooms to use. That's a joke. We can laugh in church. Now, we have said this. The Holy Spirit has a mind. The Holy Spirit has a will. And the Holy Spirit has emotions. Galatians 5. Have y'all found Ephesians 4 yet? We're going there. Galatians 5 says this. But the fruit of the Spirit. Now, I want to say something about the fruit of the Spirit. 22. You're welcome. These are all attributes that people can have. These are personality. These are things that we can have. Characteristics, yeah. The Holy Spirit, these are the fruit. Have you ever looked at them? They're the fruit of the Spirit. These are His. This is a part of Him. I don't think we look at it that way. Fruit of the Spirit. It's not just stuff He puts on the inside of you. This is Him. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Go to 23 for me. Meekness, temperance. Against such things, there is no law. What is the Lord telling us? The Holy Spirit will guide us where there is no law to cover. The Holy Spirit will guide us and direct us where there is no law. We have the word on some things. We know how we should act. But there are some situations that you'll come to, there is no law. There is no handbook. And you're going to need to know how to navigate it correctly. People have lost their jobs because they didn't navigate something correctly. People have lost relationships because they didn't navigate correctly. People have lost their marriages, their children. People have lost all kinds of things in their life because they did not navigate correctly. Because there was no rule book. But we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us that will put His leading, His guidance. What we're supposed to have on the inside of us where law will not take us, the Holy Spirit will. Oh, Ephesians 4, verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit has emotions. The Holy Spirit has emotions. The Holy Spirit, you know, by these scriptures that we just read, Galatians 5 and 22 and Ephesians 4 and 30, we could say that the Holy Spirit has joy and the Holy Spirit has grief. Now, the number one time that I believe most people experience grief is at a loss of a loved one. When someone goes home to be with the Lord. Now, I've heard denominations say that you can't grieve and that you can't cry. We should be joyful. We should celebrate. And yes, it is a celebration, but there's a grieving. That's not wrong to cry. And the Holy Spirit grieves. He grieves, and so, you know, let's put it this way. Maybe it was somebody that you loved. Maybe it was family that went on to be with the Lord. Do you know they're still your uncle? They're still your aunt. They're still your father. They're still your mother. That relationship is not lost. There's no loss of relationship when someone goes home to be with the Lord, even though you're grieving. You know what you're grieving? Communion. You're grieving their presence. Look, when somebody goes home that knows Jesus, they're not in your past, they're in your future. And I want to tell you something. The first time I went to France, right? You know, well, let me rephrase it, to live. When I went over there to live, I found a place that had Wi-Fi. And can I tell you, it took me forever to find a place that had Wi-Fi. Because I went to every store asking, do you have Wi-Fi? No. Do you have Wi-Fi? No. Coffee shops, do you have Wi-Fi? No. Do you have Wi-Fi? No. Went to Haagen-Dazs? Do you have Wi-Fi? Do you mean Wi-Fi? Yes, I mean Wi-Fi. Oh, yes, of course. Everyone has Wi-Fi. Lost in translation. I mean, like, that's not a French word. That's an American word. Learn how to say it. Wi-Fi. So if you go over there, you need some Wi-Fi. And so I sat down at Haagen-Dazs because my mom was going to call me at a certain time on Skype. We were going to see each other. This was before FaceTime and all that good stuff. And so I sat down and I ordered a Coca-Cola. I still remember the day very clearly. A Coca-Cola in glass bottle, by the way. And a platter of fruit. Strawberries, oranges. It was just wonderful. And so I'm sitting down in a meeting and I have my computer up and I'm waiting. I'm waiting. All of a sudden, my mother calls me. I'm so excited. I hit the accept button. Her face pops up. My face pop up. We both are elated to see each other. And then all of a sudden, my mom's bottom lip started to quiver. And I'm going to tell you, it broke my heart. She began, tears just started streaming down her face. And she said, I'll have to call you right back. And she hung up. She hung up. Can I tell you, you know me. I'm a little emotional. A tear went down my face right there. And I took, you know, I got my tissue and wiped my face and I'm like, all right, pull your stuff together. You are not crying in public. I mean, you're American. You ain't French. Suck it up. And so my mom calls back after a couple minutes. I answer it again. And she goes, I'm so sorry. I don't know what's wrong. She's like, it's just, I didn't think about it. Normally I'd prepare myself, but I didn't think there would be such a strong emotion of missing you. I'm like, we see each other. We're talking to each other. But what's missing? Communion. What's missing is being able to hug my mom, being able to wrap my hands and arms around her. That's what's missing. The Holy Spirit is grieved because of a lack of communion. It's not because when we do something, the Holy Spirit is not grieved because when we sin, He's angry. When we make a mistake, the Holy Spirit is not there. I am so angry with them. It's not like a WWE competition where he's going to bring the smackdown or, oh, yeah. You know, I don't watch it, but I remember the old. It wasn't WWE. It was WWF when I saw it. But I remember it's not any of that. God's not mad with us, and so he's grieved. He's saddened. He's experiencing a loss of your presence. And the reason he's grieved and the reason he's saddened is because God, the Holy Spirit, he loves people. And sin hurts people. You may not see it as hurting you. You may say, I've heard people make this. Well, I ain't hurting nobody. I ain't hurting nobody. Yes, you are. If it's only your own self. But sin will lie to you. The enemy will lie to you and say, it's just you. It's just you. It's just you. You're fine. You don't experience anything. Yes, you do. That is a lie from the enemy, and we must not believe it. We must not give in to the thought process that it only hurts me. Well, what grieves the Holy Spirit? Let's look. We're ending. We're ending right now. 25. Let's jump back to 25. Wherefore, putting away lying. No. Ephesians 4, 25. Therefore putting away lying. Lying grieves the Holy Spirit. because it hurts people. Speak truth, every man, with his neighbor. For we are all members of one another. Be angry and sin not. Do you know you can be angry and sin not? Anger is not sin. Anger is not sin. Jesus was angry. He flipped over tables. He was hot. Man. Anyway, sorry. I just imagined me flipping tables over. It was awesome. You should have seen it. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. This all grieves the Holy Spirit. Let him that steal no more. If you stole something, that grieves the Holy Spirit. It makes him sad. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, the things which is good, that he may have to give to them that need. Not giving grieves the Holy Spirit. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good use to edify, that it may minister grace unto the hearer, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamoring, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Notice something, with all malice. All this is with malice. Do you know you can be angry and sin not, but you can be angry with malice. You're going to hurt somebody. You're going to get them. Oh, they're going to get theirs. Oh, yeah, I'm going to make sure they get theirs. Have you ever heard that statement? Have you ever said it? Let's not talk about it out loud. Be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. If we are not kind, if we live a life of bitterness, if we live a lifestyle of anger, if evil speaking is always coming out of our mouth, if we are hurting people and we're doing it on purpose, all this stuff grieves the Holy Spirit. If we're not kind, if we're not tenderhearted, man, if we're not forgiving one another, we make the Holy Spirit sad because it puts something in between us that he can't have the communication with us like he wants. I'm not saying he can't speak to you. I'm not saying you won't hear from him. I'm just saying there puts a wedge. There's something that happens that you can't speak freely with him. And he can't move freely with you when we refuse to let go of some things. When we refuse to change, when we refuse to treat our wives or our husbands like we know we should, or our children like we know we should. Now, we know robbing a bank and killing people, but treating our kids like we should, treating our spouses like we should. Can I tell you this? Not too long ago, I don't know what... I do remember. It's coming back to me now. But I just remember... Oh, man. There was something that was gnawing at me just a tad bit, and this was yesterday. And we're doing some yard work, right? Okay. And there's a tree, and it's not bad. What's irritating me is not bad. Nothing major, just tiny. Just tiny scratching, right? And I'm going to cut a tree down. And I don't know about you, but I love cutting trees down. It's not big. I don't have any big trees in my yard. But just the reason to pull a chainsaw. Just a reason to crank a chainsaw and walk out and hold that trigger down. There's just something. It's like shooting guns. There's just something about it that just makes me feel better. Just makes me feel better. And we're cleaning in the garage and getting everything up. And it's my turn to go do what I finally want to do. I want to cut this tree down. And as I go to get the chainsaw, I put on my chaps. You know, case it pulls back and hits my leg, it won't cut my leg up. And I'm getting so excited. I'm ready to go. And Jesse says, hey, before we get on this next project, don't you think we should finish this one? And so this is a thought process that went through my mind. Are you ready? This is a thought. I ain't saying it's right. I'm just saying this is the thought process. Oh, we get to do the stuff you want to do, planting the new ferns and all this junk that we're putting in places. We get to do all your fun stuff. And now I get to do my fun stuff. And now you want to focus on the garage. I'm like, yeah, you're right. And so in the back, I planted some stuff, and I still needed to water it, and I still needed to put some dirt in the rock wall. So I went and did that, and that little scratch is now causing me to be more irritable than I should have been, and it wouldn't have bothered me normally, but I already have something that's irritating me a little bit, and this irritation inflamed the other irritation, causing my attitude not to be where it should have been, which was going to cause me not to be kind and treat her and be a little smarter with her than I normally would have been. About a stupid tree and a chainsaw. I just might crank it up today and just run it for a few minutes for no other reason. Just to scare the neighbors. Be like, stay out of his yard. He's crazy. He just walks around with a chainsaw cutting nothing. Just looking for something. And all this, while I'm putting the dirt in, the Holy Spirit so checked my heart. And this is what I heard on the inside of me. Get your attitude right. Because the next time you walk around there, it's going to lead you in the wrong direction. Get your emotions under control. And just as soon as I heard that, I said, all right, Lord, I'm sorry. I had a bad attitude over nothing. Nothing. So you know what I did? I walked back around and started cleaning the garage. Put my chainsaw away. But the Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us into all things. From something so tiny to something huge. He is a person. He has a mind. He has a will. And he has emotions. And he lets God's people know what they are. And we should never allow anything to stop unbelievable communion with us in him. When I moved to France, I was exactly 12 hours from my mother. That's halfway around the world. And even though I got to talk to her, even though I got to see her, even though there was still grief because that one-on-one wasn't there. And even though the Holy Spirit may be able to see you, may be able to direct you, may be able to talk to you, there's some communion that he's desiring, a closeness that he is desiring for you to be with him and him with you, that he doesn't want lying. He doesn't want grief. He doesn't want all of these things, bitterness, evil speaking, hurting. He doesn't want any of this to separate you from him. He doesn't want that separation. And when he feels it, it brings to him sadness. It brings to him grief. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word.